ರಘುಕುಲ ಭೂಷಣ ರಾಜೀವನಯನ.
The first word here is Raghukula, coming from Raghu and Kula. Raghu refers to Emperor Raghu, the great-grandfather of Lord Rama. The word Kula means lineage or dynasty. The second word is Bhushana, meaning crest jewel. The clan of Lord Rama is often called the Raghu dynasty because King Raghu was so impeccable in character and was an able administrator during his rule over the kingdom of Ayodhya. In the Ramakatha Rasavahini, Bhagwan says, though young, Emperor Raghu was rich in virtue. However tough a problem happened to be, he grasped it quickly and discovered the means of solving it. He won over wicked kings by peaceful approaches or by intelligent diplomacy, or sometimes by fielding a little army just to win them over. He made his subjects happy and contented. This dynasty was filled with duty-bound rulers such as King Raghu, and Lord Rama was indeed the crest jewel in this lineage of Raghu. And his life was highly exemplary. Since Lord Rama was born in this dynasty of King Raghu, he is described as Raghukula Bhushana, the one who adorns the Raghu dynasty as a crest jewel. The third word is Rajiva, meaning lotus. The fourth word is Nayana, that is the eye. Now, why is the phrase lotus-eyed used to describe Lord Rama? Bhagwan says the lotus, which stays deep down in the mud, comes up to the light, but it cannot stay without water because it would die otherwise. However, it does not get mixed up either with the mud or the water. Even if water comes onto the lotus flower, the droplets just roll off. And there is the significance of the lotus flower. Bhagwan says, God is always described as lotus eyes, lotus feet and so on, because when God incarnates in human form, He is in the world, He acts like every human being, but in reality, He is beyond the world. He is not attached to anything. He is always blissful. He is not affected in the least by the environment He is in, just like the lotus that grows in the slush but is not affected by what is around. In the life of Lord Rama, the divine displayed equanimity in all situations. He was never perturbed by anything. In the Ramakatha Rasavahini, Bhagwan writes that Rama had a charming face, a charming smile all the time. A merry twinkle in the eye characterized Lord Rama. There was a lasting sweetness in his words. No one ever noticed the slightest trace of anger, dislike, despair or hate on his face. When Mother Kaikeyi asked Lord Rama to go into the exile for 14 years, he gladly accepted without any objection. He displayed the same equipoise that he had shown a day earlier when he was informed that he would be crowned. He displayed the same equipoise that he had shown a day earlier when he was informed that he would be crowned as the heir to the throne. So whether he was going to become the king or whether he was banished to the forest, he was the same self of supreme peace and equanimity. In fact, that is what one sees in the life of Bhagwan too, in the life of Sai Rama too. Swami's meal was always just two tiny bites of chapati made of ragi, the local millet. Even though Puttaparthi is so hot and in fact becomes very hot in the summer, still Bhagwan never allowed an air conditioner to be fitted in the interview room. He was always that same blissful self, whether he travelled in a Mercedes or whether he travelled in an outdated Maruti car or an ordinary golf cart. When the earthly father of Bhagwan passed away, Swami said, if there is no birth and death in this world, how can I pass my time? Lotus-like, he is completely detached to what is happening around. He is in it, but he is beyond it. And that is why we hail him as the one with these lotus characteristics. So in this line, we adore the Lord who chose to incarnate as Rama in the virtuous lineage of Raghu and shone as its crest jewel. We praise him as the lotus-eyed Lord who is so beautiful and who teaches us this profound lesson of being equanimous under any situation in our lives. Let's move on to the second line.
Ishwarambanandana Satya Sai Rama.
Here the first word is Ishwaramba, referring to Mother Ishwaramba, the mother of beloved Bhagwan. The second word is Nandana, meaning sun. Nandana also means to gladden or delight. The third word is Satya, meaning truth. And the fourth word is Sai. One meaning of Sai is master. And of course, the last word is Rama. Ramyate iti Rama, Swami always says, which means the one who is pleasing and loving is Rama. Rama and Ishwaramba reminds one of a very beautiful anecdote. A few days prior to her passing away, Mother Ishwaramba was blessed with a vision which she confided to another elderly lady named Peddabottu. Mother Ishwaramba told Peddabottu Amma, "Hey Peddabottu, I want to tell you something that happened to me, but please do not tell anyone else." And Peddabottu Amma went closer and she said, "What is it? Tell me." And Mother Ishwaramba whispered, "You know something? Our Swami is God." And Peddabottu laughed. And Mother Ishwaramba says, "Why do you laugh?" And Peddabottu replies, "I'm not laughing at you, but I'm only happy that you have realized it now. But anyway, tell me, how did this realization come?" And then Mother Ishwaramba replied, "You know what? I've been having high fever for 4 days. And then Swami came to me last night." So Peddabottu said, "Swami came to you in a dream?" She said, "No, no. He really came to me. I was rolling restlessly on my bed and Swami came and he called out, 'Ammai,' and he said, 'How do you feel?' And I said, 'Swami, my whole body is aching.' And I looked up to him and then when I saw Bhagwan, it was not him, it was not Baba, it was Ramachandra. It was the Lord, the divine personality of Lord Ram with Kiritam and Kodandam, with the crown and the bow, and he looked so majestic. I just raised my folded hands and struggled to sit up and get out of the bed just to see that form. And even as I had that glimpse, just in a few minutes, that whole vision disappeared and it was just Baba again. And Swami came to me, gave me vibhuti and then said, 'Don't worry, the fever will go.' And then went away as if nothing had happened." And hearing this, Peddabottu Amma exclaimed, "You are indeed blessed. What a rare piece of luck. No one has had a vision of Sai Rama as Ramachandra Murti, as the personality of Lord Rama. While someone is fully awake and alert, it's not a dream. You had a real vision." And she congratulated Mother Ishwaramba for the beautiful blessing that Swami had conferred on her. And this happened just a couple of days before Mother Ishwaramba left her mortal coil. And Swami always emphasized on the need to be devoted to one's own mother and motherland. During one discourse in May 1982, Bhagwan spoke about the ideal of patriotism and he gave the example of Ramavatar and the example in his own life too. Swami said, after the death of Ravana on the battlefield, Lakshmana asked Rama, "Brother, our brother Bharata has been ruling the kingdom of Ayodhya very well for 14 years. That kingdom, even though it is poor, it is happy under the rule of Bharata. But now Lanka has come into our hands. Ravana is vanquished. So I pray that you assume rulership of Lanka because Lanka is so beautiful, so prosperous. It's better you become the king of Lanka and reform these Rakshasas. Let us not go back to Ayodhya." When Rama heard this, he smiled and said, "Lakshmana, does any son give up his mother just because her features are ugly? My motherland may be poor, but it is my mother. Can I adopt another woman as my mother just because she is more charming than my own mother? However rich and prosperous this Lanka may be, I do not wish to be here. When Bhagwan narrated this, he continued further and said, "Now I shall relate an example in which I myself am the subject." And then Swami said, "Many years ago, a rich lady named Sakamma used to come to Puttaparthi from Bangalore. In those days, journey to this isolated hamlet was a difficult venture. Those who came by car had to negotiate mud tracks and park the cars on the right bank of the river and then trudge across the waters. On one occasion, Sakamma came with two maternal uncles of the Maharaja of Mysore and they prayed, 'Swami, this place is very inaccessible. Devotees are undergoing so much trouble coming here. We will purchase a few acres of land for you in Bangalore city and we'll spend a few lakhs and build a fine, spacious mansion for you there. Swami, please agree to come and stay in that city. Please move to Bangalore.'" And Swami told them, "Sakamma, what is the greatness in promising water to those who come to River Ganga anyway? The greatness consists in promising water to those who come to the desert. Listen, this is the place where this body was born. You may build the mandir that you plan anywhere you like. I may come there and probably visit, but I will never forsake this place of my birth." Swami emphatically declared that he would not leave Puttaparthi because he had promised Mother Ishwaramba about this. Of course, when later Mother Ishwaramba came to know about the request of Sakamma and others, she had tears in her eyes. She went to Swami and said, "Swami, people want to take you here and there for their selfish purposes. If you leave Puttaparthi, I will just give up my life. Please promise me that you will always remain in Puttaparthi forever." And Swami, on that occasion, gave her his word and he lived up to it during his entire earthly sojourn. That is the value that the Lord attached to the motherland and mother, whether it was in the Treta Yuga in the time of Rama or in the current times when he came down as Sai Rama. Also, Bhagwan always spoke in Telugu because that was another promise he made to Mother Ishwaramma, and he did this to demonstrate how one should respect one's own mother tongue. Of course, we know of the three selfless desires that Mother Ishwaramba had. Swami constructed a school for the village children, a hospital both in Puttaparthi as well as in Bangalore. He also executed that water project. All of these mammoth projects were fulfillment of the promises that he gave to the mother. So in this line, we hail the Supreme Lord who incarnated as Rama earlier and now as Sai Rama. We glorify him as the ideal son of Mother Ishwaramba who lived up to every word that he gave to his earthly mother, and he filled her with delight by making a reality of all her selfless desires. Let's move on to the third line.
Janaki Vallabha Lavanya Rama.
The first word here is Janaki, referring to Mother Sita, the consort of Lord Rama. She represents Mother Earth and nature. The second word is Vallabha, which means beloved. Lavanya, the third word, means beauty. During one discourse in the summer courts of May 2002, Bhagwan spoke about what Lavanya actually means and said, according to our ancients, Lavanya connotes beauty of character. As one's character develops, the splendor of one's personality increases and such a person will remain ever youthful even in advanced age. He will always be blissful and beautiful. And then Swami referred to his own body and said, on that occasion, it was his 77th birthday. So he said, this body is approaching its 77th year. How is it that this body remains youthful and attractive? It is full of Lavanya because of the purity of my character, because of my sense control. Whoever has sense control will have Lavanya. And Swami says, you never find pictures of Rama or Krishna looking old. They are ever young. They are full of splendor. They are full of Lavanya. And Swami referred to his own body and said that if you do not have control over senses, even if you are 16 or 17, you look like 50 or 60. But if you have restraint on your desires, then you will have all the strength, valor and splendor. Put the senses to proper use and exercise restraint over them. we will then be endowed with Lavanya. And then Swami went on to explain how to develop this Lavanya and said, one with body consciousness can never attain bliss. Yes, the body has to be maintained properly, but you should not eat as you please. The stomach is like a petrol tank, it should not be overloaded. You should have moderate and wholesome food. And then Swami, giving his own example, he said, for the past 1 month, I have stopped eating even ragi sankati, which is my regular diet. I am taking only one chapati and nothing else. And you see how blissful I am. Some people think that I am looking weak, but it is a reflection of their feelings. In me, there is no weakness whatsoever. I am very strong. I can walk, I can run, even now. And what is the secret of this? Swami said, the secret of this is my Lavanya. Many people wonder how I appear so young and blissful, even though I am 77. Swami said, how can you expect me to be anything but this? I am full of bliss. I have no worries at all. My life is my message. So follow in my footsteps and you too will ever remain energetic and blissful forever. So in this line, we bow reverentially to the Lord who is the beloved of Mother Sita, Janaki Vallabha, who represents Mother Earth and nature. He is the one who is ever beautiful, ever youthful and always blissful because of the mastery of his senses and detachment from body consciousness. Let us move to the next line.
Nirupama Sundara Sugunabhirama.
The first word here is Nirupama, meaning matchless. The second word is Sundara, beautiful. The third word is Sugunabhi, one who is full of noble virtues. Bhagwan used to narrate how Lord Rama always spoke softly and sweetly, and it is the same that we saw in Sai Rama too. Swami always addressed everyone as Prema Swarupalara, embodiments of divine love. He spoke in a sweet, mellifluous voice. Even when he chided us, he was always filled with sweetness. He was not a condescending avatar. When people went into the interview room, he was the most considerate, the most courteous being. Swami always used we and not you. He never said you are like this. He always said, let us not be too strict with others. Let us love others. Let us not hurt others. He never addressed people in the second person singular, but always in the second person plural, because that is the traditional form of addressing respectfully. So when we sing this line, Nirupama Sundara Sugunabhirama, we hail the Lord who is of matchless beauty, the one who is the repository of all noble virtues. We seek his blessings that we too imbibe these virtues and practice them in our lives. Let us move on to the fifth line.
Prashanti Nilaya Pavan Dhamma.
Here the first word is Prashanti. In Prashanti Vahini, Bhagwan says the syllable Pra in Prashanti means expanding, enlarging, Vikasa, development, and Prashanti refers to this type of Shanti, that is all the time expanding. The second word is Nilaya, which means abode. The third word is Pavana, which means supremely pure. And Dhamma means abode. Prashanti Nilaya Pavana Dhamma. It refers to Prashanti Nilayam, which is the most sacred of all spots. And why is it sacred? Because Swami himself said he never sends invitation cards for anyone to come to Prashanti Nilayam. They come because of his divine love. The abode of peace draws everyone to it because of the nature of the place, because of how it is a colossus of peace. It indeed is the most love-charged place on the planet. So in this line, Prashanti Nilaya Pavana Dhamma, we refer to this most sacred spot on earth, which is holiest and which is the destination of every spiritual seeker. Let's now move on to the last line.
Jaya Jaya Rama Prabhu Sai Rama.
Here the first and second word is Jaya, which means may victory be too. And the other new word is Prabhu, which means Lord. So in this line, we proclaim victory to the eternal Lord who incarnated as Lord Rama in the Tritayuga and again as Satya Sai Rama in the Kali Yuga, the current times. And with this, we have finished gaining a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan. And with this deeper understanding, let's now proceed listening to the complete version of the bhajan as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir.